Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
I'm going to be in 2 Chronicles tonight. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 is where we will find the text for tonight's message. And it is going to be in a thought and with my heart going out to the Memorial Day weekend and to our nation, the problems that we're struggling with in America tonight, and really the problems that are going around the world. I don't believe the problems are anything new to society or new to mankind, but I believe with the technology that we have, they are more known. They are better advertised and they are better promoted around the world. It makes them seem a whole lot more that things have escalated. I believe they are deeper tonight than they've ever been. The amount of problems I believe are still there. I believe sin is sin, but I think that mankind as a whole has found a way to take sin and keep moving it to new levels. And by doing so, we find ourselves falling short of God's will in many ways. We have people that are sacrificing their lives in order to keep us free, and we are finding ways to initiate sin in our lives, and I believe just tempt God for judgment on this nation. And I think as following suit with Memorial Day and those who have given their lives to assure our freedom and God has blessed their sacrifices, I think we need to look at how we as a people and how we as a nation are approaching our responsibilities to God and to the blessings that He's given. 1 Chronicles, chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading with verse 12. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent to the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. May God add blessings to the reading of His Word tonight. I want to kind of introduce the message tonight by bringing you up to speed with what's been written in Chronicles in our text. David was a man chosen by God to do God's work. He was a man that God said was after His own heart. However, God showed David His plans for a temple. God was tired of worshiping in a tent. God felt like that His people, His children, Israel, they all had nice houses. They all had nice homes. But He was still worshiping in a tent, the tabernacle. In Shiloh, they were moving to Shiloh to worship with Him. And God said, I want my own house. God said, I want my own house, David, and I want it to look like this. Now, I'm paraphrasing, I know, but just bear with me till we get through this, okay? He said, I want it to look like this, and He gave David the plans for it, and He gave David a vision of what it was going to look like. But David, God told him, you can't build it. You are a man of war. You have blood on your hands. You can't build it, but your son Solomon, he will build it. Your son will build it. David has now passed away. Solomon is sitting on the throne. He has his palace. Israel and Jerusalem is a thriving place. God has blessed it immensely. They are in God's good graces. God speaks to Solomon. after Solomon prayed and gave a prayer of dedication and a prayer of thanksgiving to God, God spoke to him. He appeared to him by night, and he gave him this dialogue. There's much more to it, but he gave him this dialogue that we just spoke of, that we just read from God's Word. God told Solomon, I want to worship here, and I want to worship with these people. I want to worship with my people, the people that I love, the people that I have blessed, the people that have came after me, and they have sought me in what they do and how they do things. I have chosen this place, God says, for a house of sacrifice. You know, when I read those words, I think of Israel, and I look at Israel today, and I reflect, and we have just recently moved our embassy from Tel Aviv into Jerusalem, and it has stirred up a stir worldwide. But let it be. We have recognized the same place that God recognized in this passage of Scripture and throughout His Word as being the capital of Israel. And I think that's true tonight. But I also think of something else. When I think about Memorial Day and Independence Day that's coming up, I think about the history that we have here where we are talking about Christopher Columbus and his discovery of America. When we talk about the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Compact and everything, when they came from Europe and they colonized here. We talk about the efforts that man put into doing all of this and bringing America into the era of the Declaration of Independence. But I've come to realize there's something that we've missed. We didn't just stumble across America. God established America. It wasn't man that established it, it was God. Because let's think about something here. Way back in 1492, when Columbus settled here, there was a lot of stuff going on and building up in Europe. The churches over there and Christian worship over there was starting to make a very bad turn. As a matter of fact, it was in 1517 when Martin Luther would nail his thesis on the church door, and when he would separate and he would divide the Catholic Church, and he would establish his thesis of worship and priesthood of the believers. Things were changing in Europe. Way back in 1492, God started setting the course for America. When we come up to 1620, persecution was running rampant in Europe. The Church of England was persecuting the Puritans, and whom those we call the Pilgrims. They had been chased out of England. There was a blood bounty on their heads. They were wanted with a death penalty, wanted dead or alive, to be brought back to England. They got on a boat called the Mayflower. And they were headed this way. God steered them into Plymouth, Massachusetts, where they came off the boat, and they brought with them a piece of paper called the Mayflower Compact. Not everyone on that boat signed it, but those that did signed it, and what they signed was a declaration, so to speak, that would establish America as a missions field for the gospel of Jesus Christ to be going out around the world. That was established of God. Since then, there have been many, many people, many countries that have tried to destroy it, that have tried to tear us down, that have tried to ruin us. And God has blessed all of the lives that have went out to defend it. And I believe He'll continue to bless it as long as we as a nation stay true to God's calling. Tonight I want to read with you part of the beginning of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That comes from our Declaration of Independence that was given July the 4th, 1776. The rights that you and I enjoy tonight, they're not rights that were given by this piece of paper. They were rights that were given by God to all human beings. They were just acknowledged on paper in writing in Philadelphia in July of 1776. The political picture that we have stirring about in America today is disgusting and nauseating at best. When they say that we're going to, the Constitution is this and the Constitution is that, the Constitution is a group of people who have said God has given us the inalienable rights to take care of ourselves and to prosper us and to have the opportunities that we've never had. God has given us those rights. And we're recognizing what God has given. And that's what we want to worship. And that's what we want to do. We want to take advantage of. And we want to worship and give God the glory for it all. That Declaration of Independence does quite a few things for us. It is probably and arguably the greatest document that has ever been put together by man outside of God's Word, which was written and recorded by man, but was given by God Himself. Why? Because the Declaration of Independence promises the greatest good. It promises the greatest good to anyone and everyone who is a citizen of this country. Anyone who calls America home, and anyone who comes under the flag, anyone who comes here to be an American, the Declaration of Independence provides that to anyone who follows suit with the Constitution. The Declaration of Independence has impacted the greatest number of people. You know, I like to think that all of the immigrants that are wanting to come here tonight are wanting to come here because of the freedoms that we offer. I fear that's not the case, but I want to think that that's why they want to come. It impacts the world. That's why the world wants to steer America into socialism. That's why the world wants to see America tied into communism. Because it would eliminate the Declaration of Independence. And it would no longer be an encouragement to other people around the world. It is the document it is because it has produced the greatest nation the world has ever seen. The United States of America is the trendsetter and has been a trendsetter in the world for a long time. But not only that, we are accomplishing tonight what God has established us to do. We are still the nation that sends the most missionaries around the world. We are the nation that has the religious liberties and the freedoms to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ and send it around the world. When a little country preacher like myself can use the technology of the internet and God will drop our messages into China and God will drop the messages of this church into Pakistan and into Saudi Arabia, into India, into Africa, into Europe, into South America, sometimes into the Antarctic and the Arctic. And it's all because we have the freedom here in America, the opportunity to purchase what is needed to put those out there. And the prayer that God will take them and deliver them throughout the airwaves and drop them in. And if He will do that for this little country preacher in this little corner of the world in the Blue Ridge Mountains, what else is He doing with those that are much more qualified, much more blessed than I? It is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. But it is only great because of God's blessings. It isn't great because of our financial status. It isn't great because of our government or our military, which we thank and we recognize tonight. But it is great because of God. It is great because He is blessing everything that we're doing and He is blessing everything that we're putting into it. And I'm not saying that because I believe America is a holy nation and a righteous nation tonight, because I believe we're far from that. And I believe the Scripture talks to that and speaks to that. We are far from it tonight. The Memorial Day that we're going to celebrate tomorrow is a Memorial Day of what has been. We're going to remember. We're going to remember the Revolutionary War and those who died in it. We're going to remember the Civil War, those who died in it. We're going to remember World War I and World War II and Korea and Vietnam and all of the Middle Eastern conflicts that have taken place and are still taking place tonight. We're going to remember all of them tomorrow. But next year, what are we going to have as a memorial? Next year, will we be remembering the same and celebrating the same memorial? Or will we be frustrated and will we be sitting around in tears because the America we once knew is no longer the America that we have? Just as God established this nation, God can take this nation apart and God can judge this nation. We are a nation tonight that is living in immorality. We are a nation tonight that is living in greed. We are living in self-righteousness and selfishness. If I don't get what I want the way I want it, when I want it, and if I don't get it supersized, I'm going to get mad and I'm going to take my football and I'm going to go home. That's the attitude that too many of us have. I'm going to have it my way or I'm going to have it no way. And we're not looking at what God may want. We're treading on some very dangerous ground. Israel had already walked this path. And Israel had paid a horrible price. They had been taken into captivity. They had been judged. They repented. And now they have moved out, moved up, and God has blessed them, and God has put His sanctuary in Jerusalem. And He has told Solomon, as long as you do things the way I'm telling you to do them, as long as you're following and being obedient in what I'm asking you to do, I'm going to bless you. And He says, but if by chance I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send the pestilence among the people, if God judges them, He gives some encouragement. He gives some encouragement. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Folks, God's not treated us any different tonight than He has Israel. He has established America. God has established it tonight. And He has blessed us. He has established His church. He has established us as a sending ground for the missionaries and the Word of God to go around the world. And I fear that we're taking that for granted. And I fear that we're taking it for granted to the point of pushing God into judgment. Memorial Day, we need to hold on and hold dear to those who have given their lives, but we also need to hold dear in remembrance of what God has given us in this nation. We need to hold dear and remember everything that He has blessed us with. The freedom and the liberties that we have are freedom and liberty that He has given to you and I through the sacrifices of others, and it's been passed down to us. And when I think about that being passed down to us, I think about something the late Ronald Reagan said. Freedom is one generation away from collapse. And that scares me tonight when I look at the news and I watch television and I see some of the young people in the high schools today and I hear them complaining and I hear them talking about socialism and I hear them talking about eliminating certain things, and I hear them talking about how they want to take away this right or that right, how they want to limit it, how they want to do certain things, and they want to take away certain things that the Constitution has guaranteed us. And I stop and I think, this generation that is criticizing, this generation that is tearing down, this generation that is tearing apart our nation and the fabric of our nation and what God has given and supplied us, this will be a generation that not too far in the future, we will be asking to defend our nation. And I fear that they're not going to be willing to do that. I fear that those, that generation, that group, that a large number of that group would turn us over into the hands of an opposing force. And furthermore, what I fear is that it wouldn't be their choice, but that it may be the judgment of God acting through that generation. The judgment of God that will not give them a heart that looks to Him, that will not give them a heart that fears God, that will not give them a heart that fears His Word or fears the preaching and teaching of His Word, that has no conscience. And in doing so, they will be a group of people that will be like the Greeks. When Rome came through to take over the country and the nation of Greece, they were well educated. They were a very peaceful people. They had all of the arts and all of the cultures that the world could ever hope for. But when Rome moved in, instead of them fighting for what was theirs and fighting for what they had and what God could give them, they just handed it over to Rome. And in the process of Rome taking over Greece, Greece took over Rome. And the liberalism and the sin that the Grecians brought into Rome helped bring down the Roman Empire. I fear tonight that we are a generation away from losing our freedom. Because we are a generation, we have raised a generation that does not see the authority of the Word of God, does not see it as an absolute. They don't see the right and the wrong in anything that's going on in the world around us. They've been told that they're entitled. They've been told that they don't have to work or it's not about an opportunity to succeed, but they're being guaranteed a success. And they have accepted that. And they have embraced it. And they don't feel like they have to work. They don't feel like they have to put anything into it. They don't have to make an investment. God's Word tells us different. The Declaration of our own independence says that there is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, not the guarantee of it. And God in His Word tells Solomon that He will take care of that nation and He will take care of His people if they will follow Him. And if we would, and if we find ourselves under God's judgment, if we find ourselves struggling, we have to humble ourselves. We have to repent. We have to seek His face. When we celebrate Memorial Day tomorrow, we can celebrate it and we can begin by seeking the face of God. We can begin by asking God, what have I done? God, the Memorial Day I want next year in 2019, if I'm still here, the Memorial Day I want is a Memorial Day that is richer than this one. Not because more people have shed their blood, but because Your presence is greater in this nation. Your presence is greater in my life. Your presence is greater than anything and everything that I have been accustomed to and anything and everything that I've been a part of. Because we may be a small church here in the mountains of North Carolina, but we are a blessed people. We are truly blessed in more ways than we can ever imagine. Are we going to remember the blessings that God has given us? And are we going to think of them as a memorial as well? Think of them as a blessing and just as the blessings of those who have given their lives for our freedom that God has so blessed and so came and so worked with and so used to establish our nation and our people. There have been a lot of amazing preachers that have blessed this country and blessed the world through this country. Just recently, the late Billy Graham passed away, went home to eternity. He has probably impacted every nation on the face of the earth personally, by personally setting his foot there. I remember when I was a child, when Billy Graham went to China. That was a big deal. It was a big deal for a preacher to go into China. It was a big deal for a preacher to go into Russia. It was a big deal for God's Word to make it into those countries and many others just like it, because they were closed to Christianity. Yet God, through Billy Graham, opened those doors. Who will be the next Billy Graham to step out in the, out of America? Who will be that next great evangelist? Who will be that next great preacher that will touch the nations of the world and open up doors? Who will be that next evangelist that will be successful and God will bless in preaching His Word throughout the streets and the highways and the hedges of America, taking this confused and this twisted generation that don't really understand the principles of what they have before them? Who will be the one that will be introducing them to Jesus? It will have to come through the church. We stand tonight on the threshold of the opportunity to make the next great Memorial Day by praying and lifting ourselves up to God and asking Him to set aside that person, to reveal that person, to bless that person that will lead this nation, that will lead revival in America, that will lead evangelism around the world, that will empower our churches, that will encourage our churches, that will lift up our church members and get us back in the footsteps of following God. We have many tonight that are already there, but there's room for many more to join that march. There's room for many more to join in and come alongside of those Christians that are marching and those Christians that are seeking the face of God. In verse 16, we read, "For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually." What a blessing it would be if the church would lift that up to God and ask God to make that America tonight. That we would want America to be the one that God says, "This is where my name is going to be preached from. Israel may be my people, and my house may have been built in Israel, but I'm going to use America to propagate my gospel. I'm going to use America to send my name and my word around the world. I'm going to use America to be my sounding board." I believe God wants to do that to us tonight. I believe He wants to use us to do that. And I believe He's just needing us to be humble, to seek His face, and to turn from any disobedience that we have. I believe America is standing at a crossroads tonight. And I believe as we look down the road to Memorial Day, we're going to be able to stand at that crossroad, and we're going to be able to stop, and we're going to be able to look behind us, and we're going to be able to see all of the great things that God has done through all of the great people in the past. And then we're going to be able to look ahead into the future, and we're going to be able to answer the question, what and who will be in the future for America? When we look into the future for America, it is based upon the church. If you notice in God's Word, God didn't use the pagan governments and the pagan people to bless His work. He used Israel. He used His chosen people, His saints. When we look back in Memorial Day and we think of those and we see those who He used, we can see that while every one of them who died may not have been saints of God, but those who were leading them, those who were behind the movements that were working and changing the world through him, it was the saints of God that was pushing and moving those things. And when we look ahead into the future, it's going to be the saints of God that are going to be making a difference in the future. Will that be us? Will we be in that movement? Will we be in that group? I can't speak for you and I can't speak for anyone else, but I can say that my heart is going to have me praying and preaching and being a part of that as long as my health will hold, as long as God will keep me strong and keep me able to walk and to move and to preach and to speak and to work and to proclaim the goodness and the graciousness of who He is. I will be seeking to make the future as godly and as bright and as opportunistic as I can for those who are coming behind me. And I'll be seeking God's face the whole time to lift Him up and glorify Him. And I want to encourage you to do the same tonight. I want to encourage you to look ahead at what God wants in your life and in the life of this church as we consider Memorial Day and what's taking place behind us. And as we look ahead at what standard we're setting for those coming along behind us to look back upon as a Memorial Day as well.